All right, welcome back to Frank Poetry with Favor, and here is this week's poem. As you might have assumed, or actually there was a poll last week and I asked if you guys wanted a sequel, a follow-up, When Hell Gives Your Husband, and the answer was yes. So thank you for responding to the poll. So here we go. This is a sequel to last week's poem, and the title of today's poem is When Hell Gives You a Husband. The lines dividing what looks like 6 mini ice packs on his abdomen are so finely defined, so curated and masterfully chiseled. According to the media, he is ideal. He is hot. His wealth buys opinions and positions in untouched places, a person without a need, material, abundance, amassment, the presence of plenty and more, cars and mansions with wings, wide and dense, gadgets and antiques, the ancient and the new, the knowing that there is no such thing as lack, as wanting without its satisfaction near. He is the real deal, society says. He's got money. The weight of the status of his name, one that society elucidates with intention and courage, there is an accord, a respect, a regard because of who he is in community. And some say this is the husband. Then we open the pages of his heart and see the real deal. You must have taken a few steps backwards. The repugnant smell from this opened heart forces your nose into a squint. There is an air, the passage of air, that shuts your stomach into a knot. Now the allure of your eyes fade, the scales fall, the heart you saw knew nothing of grace and kindness. A gentleness with the other was not only absent, but impenetrable. Yet some call him gentleman. His tongue cuts like a sword, slicing the personhood of his wife. Her soul is cut in half and shatters. This tongued sword nails the innocence of his children beneath the breath of his insolence. He is God. It's his way or the highway. His pride is always in his way. He tumbles and falls, yet he doesn't realize he is fallen. So close to the ground, so close to grass, so Nebuchadnezzar. He enters the driveway and the home hushes its joy. The children disperse to rooms. The wife gathers her smile into a solemn. He is rage and brimstone, abrasive to those he must love. His voice is a terror raking throughout the home, shuddering little and big hearts. He is fury, a danger. How and when did wealth and physique equate to manliness? Equate to the standard for husbandhood? Equate to the soul needs of a wife and children? When did the material become the primary? Were these men not told that the strong force of their voices were made for scaring vipers away from their homes rather than the subduing of their homes? Were they not told that the muscles and chiseled abs were to protect the woman and not to dominate with pounding terror? Was the likeness of love not shown to you? Was the measure of love not explained to you? Were you not told that love, the kind Christ has modeled for you, the one where you care, like unto your own self, the one where you sacrifice yourself for her sake, the one where your voice is not a signal of terror and fear, but like fresh water in the desert, like a nourishing spring, is what you must give because of Christ. The husband, like Christ, is exactly that. Like Christ. Alright, just a little chat like we've had in the previous episode. I think it's necessary for this poem. I want to share a few things about this poem from two perspectives, just like the last poem. And if you haven't listened to the last poem, I highly suggest that you do, whether you are male or female. So the first perspective here is to the woman, or to the women dating to be married. So don't listen nor buy what you see online and in the media. When I say media, TV, right? And online social media, well, we could put all of those together in one category. It's so deceptive. It really is so deceptive. All it is what it is on screen. It's not reality. We must so vehemently move past the deceit of the media today, looking for hot and wealthy men, because that's all they show you, right? The person you are marrying, the true person, is who is inside that body of flesh, that mass of flesh. Whatever is inside it, that's who you're marrying, not the outside, right? Is he gracious? You cannot tell that someone is gracious by how they look. Is he kind? Is he teachable? These are all internal qualities of a human being, of a person inside. And so, as women, that's what we should be looking for. Now, am I saying that money and good looks are not good? No, that's not what I'm saying. In fact, I highly recommend marrying someone you are deeply attracted to. I hinted at this a little bit in the last poem. You know, I highly recommend this so that at least you can often stare at him and let your eyes feast on the beauty in front of you. You know, like, let's say you're upset. His beauty can even comfort you small when you look at him. That happens sometimes, right? But the fact is that, yeah, absolutely, yes. Outer looks are important. And of course, money fuels love and marriage. You need to eat, you need to pay your bills, and also enjoy some fine things of life. But all of that, that's all it is. That's all it is. If you stop there, if that's all for you, then there's a problem somewhere. Because down the road, you quickly realize that your sanity, your mental health, your emotional and spiritual health and well-being of yourself and your children are more important than looks and money. Right? So, we know stories where we see a young woman that's been bubbling, you know, full of life in her father's house, or even maybe living by herself and doing really well for herself. And a few years after she gets married, she becomes a breeding vegetable, right? She's living in terror and fear. When she speaks, her voice shakes. These are little signs, right? You can say it's emotional abuse and all of that, but that's a produce of an environment that has really conditioned her to be, not just her, also the children, to just shrink, right? Her eyes are always uncertain. When hubby comes home, the airway of every living being at home constricts. Literally, everyone is holding their breath. You just don't know what you're going to do to upset him. He could pounce on anyone because he's stressed out or fatigued. You know, he lacks the sensitivity and care that comes from a father and a husband. And so if you are this woman, you quickly realize that you can also earn a living and do without a hell-supplied fine man. That's a fact, right? So now the second perspective to the man, if this is you, I can say that I know the pressure to be the man, right? And I'm not saying this because like I'm a man and I understand this. Of course, I am married, I have a husband, I have brothers. I understand that pressure, you know, an emphasis on working, earning, to be the provider. You know, that is the truth of the man of the home. In the same measure, one must be cautious not to be lacking of the gentleness of a man. That is the substance of a man, right? There is a comforting and safe feeling that we women feel around our men. You know, one must be cautious, and one here meaning the men, must be cautious not to become a demigod, you know, where the person you are is what you have acquired, wealth and looks. So this prompt, like the previous one, is not to condemn you if this is you. In fact, it's helpful to have a stranger's voice, or if you know me, to have a familiar voice as well, help you see what, you know, what might be present in your life that shouldn't be. And this is a great help. Many times, men tend to hide behind the pride of their wealth, right? And many times this wealth is substituted, you get what I'm trying to make, you get what I'm trying to say. There's a substitute for character, because the man has money, he's wealthy, and many times good looking on top of that. And that's incredibly sad and dangerous, right? It's really helpful to seek out a role modeling from men that model that Christ-like living in their lives and their homes. And so if this is you and you identify, oh man, everything that's been described in this poem is actually me, you can actually seek out help. And this is not to shame you, it's really to help you. As a woman, you know, there's nothing as terrifying as the husband that's described here. You might think you have a home, speaking to the man, right? But you don't. When the children are all grown and leave, they might swear never to come home ever again. And they might just pay you the courtesy of 2 calls a year on your birthday and during Christmas. And God help you if your birthday is on Christmas Day, you're going to get called just once a year. And by that time, this woman may have gathered all she needs to live a life separate from you if she's that bold, right? Otherwise, she just dies a shriveled vegetable in your home. And people can see that this is not a home, this is not a healthy home, right? You want to model what a healthy home looks like. So I really hope that this poem has been helpful. This is the month of love, and we're doing all things love, talking all things love. I hope to see you next time, next week, for another poem on love. Thank you so much for your time. Goodbye.